Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at hearing loss. Maybe you or a family member has struggled with hearing loss. You'll definitely want to stick around today as we visit with our guests. We can talk about treatment options. We can talk about how to prevent it. All kinds of things with our guest, Melanie Burr-Lawler, a licensed audiologist, clinical associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at UW-Madison. And Melanie, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me.
I was surprised the number. That's a fairly big health problem that we have, isn't it?
It is. It's really common. The stats are something like 1 in 3 people over the age of 65 has a hearing loss. And then when you hit 85, it's 50% of the people.
Wow. And what about on the other end?
Actually, there are a number of children that are born with hearing loss. And so we know that between 1 in 3 children in 1,000 are born with some type of permanent hearing loss that requires treatment.
So it's not only the older folks that can have the problem. And if you're born with it, then you've got it your whole... You're not getting it when you're 85. You're getting it when you're a baby.
That's correct. If you're born with it, there's actually a lot of factors that we have to consider, like if you acquire hearing loss later in life, you've already developed speech and language and you know how to communicate well using oral language with other people. But if you're a child and you're born with hearing loss, then you're kind of starting from the ground up. And so there's a lot of early intervention that we have to do.
Yeah, my daughter Emily she used to get ear infections all the time, and that really affected her hearing and her speech, actually. She worked really hard to sort of develop her speech, and, you know, those problems went away, and she does, you know, she's 13 now, and she does just fine, but it was a struggle for a while when she was young.
Yeah, that actually brings up a really good point. So there's a lot of kids that have temporary fluctuating hearing loss that comes because of ear infections, and that can cause all sorts of side effects like what you talked about as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll give our listeners a chance to join in. If you have a question or comment, I hope you'll ring in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us too. The email address is talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And John in Wausau is already up with a question, so let's go there. John, hi, thank you for calling. Oops, let's get John on. There we go, John.
Okay, I'm in Wausau, and I have two things I wanted to talk about. First, I had hearing damage in my right ear about a year ago. I'm a classical pianist, and a rock dropped on a steel plate from a clock, and it basically shattered my cochlea in my right ear. There were all sorts of strange hallucination noises, like strange overtones that I would hear in speech, like almost like a sort of thing. It took about a year. They gave me prednisone for like 6 days, I think, 60 milligrams. It drove me crazy. I didn't notice any cure. But over the last year, it's toned down more, and I'm able to deal with it. However, in my left ear, I had a cell phone. It's the first time I ever used a cell phone. I called information, and I put the cell phone to my left ear, and it was on speakerphone all the way up, apparently. And it just, now in my left ear, I've got the sound of a plane taking off. It sounds like the engine of a plane revving. And then the air that you get in the plane, you know, that goes, yep. I've got that on top of it. Plus, all the sounds that come in my left ear now are all distorted and really crazy, and I can't play my piano anymore. I can't even listen to it. And I'm wondering, I got on prednisone, but it started affecting my breathing, so the doctor told me to get off of it. I don't really know what to do, and I'm just hoping that these tones are going to calm down, because it's really drastically affecting my life. And I'm wondering, why is it now, I'm going to be 60, why is it now that these two very simple things have caused such permanent damage in my ear?
Well, that's a kind of a sad story. And I'm sorry for what's happened to you, John. Melanie, a comment from you?
Yeah, it sounds like that is really significantly impacting your life. So I'm really sorry that you had those experiences. Have you had a hearing test recently since those both of those instances occurred?
Actually, no. I've been really not wanting at all to get a hearing test.
Okay.
At all.
Well, I think from my perspective as an audiologist, I think the very first thing I would recommend in your case is to get a really good hearing test by an audiologist to see exactly what's going on in your auditory system. So a hearing evaluation will look at the different parts of your hearing system. So it'll look at the outer ear, the ear canal, the middle ear, and see if that's functioning well. And then, as you mentioned, the cochlea, the inner ear, and the auditory nerve. So there's ways to examine the different aspects of the system and see what degree of damage has occurred because of what you mentioned, and what type of hearing loss is happening, or what type of problem is occurring in conjunction with the noises that you're hearing. The reason I'm suggesting it also is because not only have you had those incidents, but you're hearing those sounds. And very often when we have those, that perception of sound in our ears, we usually use the label tinnitus or tinnitus to talk about it. Very often that goes hand in hand with some degree of hearing loss. There might be some ways that we can give you some strategies, and audiologists could give you good strategies to kind of help put that sound in the background of your life. You may require some sort of medical referral to a physician for some type of additional treatment. It sounds like you've already been down that road a little bit in terms of the prednisone, but maybe there's some other tests that need to be done or treatment that could take place. Maybe you have the degree of hearing loss that would be benefited by some type of hearing technology. And so I think that that is the first step in getting the answer to that question that you asked. It's hard to say. You can't. There's different types of hearing loss caused by noise. One is the type that comes after years and years and years of noise exposure, like if you were to work in a factory or be exposed to lots of loud noises for a long time, just over time, it's really hard on our auditory system. But then there are people like, it sounds like you have experience that can have one instance of an extremely loud noise and have permanent damage. But again, to really fully answer the question for you specifically, I'd recommend a good test.
So that's the place to start, John, and I wish you well and good luck with that. And, you know, that's good. I think that's good advice, even though he doesn't want to do it. Sometimes there are things we don't want to do, but it's better to do them anyway. So there you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. I've had, you know, I can recall a Bruce Springsteen concert where after the concert my ears were ringing for, I don't remember how long, but it was like a day at least. And I wondered if I'd permanently damaged my hearing.
So that sound that you're hearing, that ringing, that is a signal to you that your auditory system, your hearing system is not happy. So anytime we have that, like if you go out and you're around loud noise, even at some sporting events, it can be very, very loud. Concerts, of course, that ringing is a clue that we've done some sort of kind of, we've irritated our system. And over time, that can add up. And even that little bit of ringing that only lasted a day, that's called a temporary threshold shift that we have. Sometimes your ears kind of sound muffled, too. That can cause some damage that builds over time. So this is kind of my soapbox. Sorry, I'm going to get on it. Definitely, I'd recommend hearing protection for those noisy environments. And if you're an audiophile, a real music lover, or you really want to enjoy the concert and hear, you know, to the fullest potential, there's actually some really nice musicians' earplugs out there that keep the sound quality really good, just reduce the volume.
And they're not that expensive, are they?
No, you can actually buy, there are different types. There's some that are not custom made, so they're just like a plug you can buy on the internet. You can Google musicians' earplugs. ER20 is a really nice kind. We also, in our clinic at the university, we make some custom earplugs with filters, and we work with a lot of musicians.
You mentioned events, and that reminded me when Emily was smaller, probably four or so, we had season hockey tickets. And I'm wondering about, you know, before I took her, I happened to be on the athletic board at the time, and I called over there and asked about if they had they knew the noise level, because when that horn goes off, when a goal is scored. Anyway, they hadn't done that at that point, but they did research it, and, you know, it's probably not a good idea to have your youngster probably there, or if you do, you would want those kinds of plugs for them.
Fortunately, it's been that kind of thing has been getting some good press lately. If you think about Michael Phelps's little baby at the Olympics wearing the earmuffs, and it's something we really want to think about with kids, you know, especially with the iPods and they're being in a lot of different noisy environments, making sure they're safely listening and protecting their hearing for their lifetime. And those sporting events actually can get pretty loud.
Real very loud. John in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, John.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Well, this is a long story, but short that I'm in my early 80s, and I have had basically, well, not basically, no hearing in my right ear. I think I had hearing probably in the first years, maybe up to six or seven, and I don't know if it was a result of an ear infection or whatever. I no longer remember. But the major problem I have today, and of course, our whole system is noise. Got to have noise. If you go into a nice restaurant, you still got to have noise, music or whatever. And it, in that type of an environment where there's noise or going into, well, just like Sunday, I was at a party, and I can't communicate with people because there's just too much noise. My hearing in my left ear, I think, is slowly deteriorating with age.
Yeah.
But the major problem I have is if there is a noise, like there's somebody dropped something, or somebody is working on a building, I cannot locate the sound. I can hear it fine, but I can't locate it.
Interesting. So locating sound, and John has hearing in only one ear. Is that something that occurs with people with hearing in only one ear?
Yeah, our system is kind of amazing. We're actually designed to work with our two ears to help localize sound. So what you're describing, John, is kind of the perfect description of what it's like to be not hearing well out of one ear and hearing better out of the other. So that the difficulty in localizing sound is because you only have that one ear to help you kind of pick up everything in the world. And when we have two ears, our brain kind of pulls that location out. There's not a lot of great technology solutions that you can take with you in every environment in terms of localization. But I kind of just want to step into the technology part of this conversation a little bit, if that's okay. Because you also mentioned difficulty hearing in noisy environments. And that is a really tough situation for people as well when the hearing isn't as good in one ear. And there are some technology solutions out there for people, and this might be something that you could look into, John, for hearing in noisy places. It used to be, and this is still a great option, that you could use a little remote microphone. It's very discreet. You could give it to your conversation partner, and they could clip it on their collar, set it on their table by where they're sitting, and it would pick up their voice and send it straight to your good ear. It's almost as if they're talking directly into your ear above all the noise in the environment. That's something that can work with a hearing aid, or it can be just independent on its own. For a lower tech version, you can actually have something with a cord, but that's a lot more obvious. It's less expensive. Another option that's...
What do those cost, by the way, roughly?
Well, if you're buying just a corded listening device, you can buy those like at Radio Shack for $30.
Mm-hmm.
For if you step up in technology, you're going to be spending more in terms of something that is worn on the ear, custom fit to you. You're looking more like $1,000+.
Okay.
Some people have insurance that covers hearing technology, and some people do not. And that's something you kind of have to check on your own, but they are expensive. Another option is there's some hearing aids now that are coming out that are cell phone compatible, iPhone compatible. So you can actually use your iPhone as a remote microphone. And who doesn't have their phone out these days at a restaurant? So if you're talking to someone across the table from you and you have your hearing aid on, if you just have the one ear, You can put the microphone on your iPhone to act as an extra microphone to pick up their sound, and it's sent directly to your ear. So there's lots of new things coming out as well in terms of hearing technology. That,
and that's probably a little, well, once you have the iPhone,
yeah,
that technology would be a little cheaper if you already have the phone.
So you don't have to purchase any extra devices in that case.
Okay.
There's some benefits to those extra devices. I think it's kind of a personal, everyone has their own experience. So you could take 10 people with hearing loss and they might all look the same on a piece of paper, but their lives are really different. Their experiences are different. Their communication is different. So it's good to have a good audiologist taking care of you that you can have a conversation with what you need and what would work best in your life.
Yeah. John, thank you so much for calling, and good luck. I hope this has been helpful to you, and I really appreciate your call. Melanie Burr-Lawler, our guest today, licensed audiologist with the University of Wisconsin's Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders. I'm Larry Mueller. Chris Molina, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45 today, we'll talk with the editor of Our Wisconsin magazine about fall fun and a whole lot more. Hope you can stay with us for that. Right now, taking a look at preventing and dealing with hearing loss with Melanie Burr-Lawler of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's an audiologist and is doing a great job, as a matter of fact. It's fun to have her with us. Thanks for joining in. All our lines are filled. The number is 1-800-642-1234. We'll turn to Steve in Lake Mills next. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. 3 weeks ago, I had a sinus infection, and it has now migrated to my ears. For about 10 days, I have really had a very difficult time hearing in my left ear. I called my physician and was advised to take a stronger antihistamine. That's been going on for 7 days, and my ear is still plugged up. I have slight tinnitus also. So do I continue with the antihistamine, or should I go back and, you know, make an appointment with my physician and an audiologist?
Yeah.
That's a great question. So what you're talking about is the more transient or temporary type of hearing problem, it sounds like. And I would definitely make an appointment to go back and talk to your physician, because it sounds like it's not resolving and you're having these other symptoms of the ringing, and that can happen if your ear is all plugged up. So definitely go back and seek some medical treatment for that one.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Sometimes your ear can be, I mean, if your ear canal is a little funny, you can get wax in there that's difficult to get out. And I can tell you that from personal experience. Mm-hmm. And it can be a real pain. And that can be resolved in 5 minutes, in a that part anyway, in 5 minutes, in with your doctor.
Absolutely. Can I just respond to that really quickly?
Absolutely.
So I think that is something that, again, it's if you think you might have a hearing loss and you're not really sure what's going on, no matter your age or kind of what you're experiencing, that's a good reason to go in for a hearing evaluation with an audiologist, because maybe it is just earwax. Maybe there is some sort of something going on in your middle ear system, like when children get ear infections, that requires medical treatment. Or maybe it is something that could really benefit from hearing technology, and that can really improve quality of life. So an audiologist is kind of the first step in many cases to pointing you in the right direction for treatment.
Let's go to Helen in Little Chute next. Helen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a baby boomer, and when those iPods came out, I bought my first iPod, I think, 2008. I used to fall asleep listening to classical music, and I'd wake up 3 hours later, and the music would, you know, still be playing. As a result, I developed ringing in my ears. My question is, when that happened, I did go in for a hearing test, and the audiologist at the time said, I'll have this for the rest of my life. So my question is there any hope for, you know, continuous ringing in your ears?
That's a great question. So it's difficult because there's no one miracle cure to fix ringing in people's ears. So there's no magic pill that you can take or surgery you can have that will make it go away. But there is hope. There's a lot of evidence-based treatment options out there. One of them is called tinnitus retraining therapy, and it's kind of a holistic approach that includes a type of kind of education about what's going on, a measurement of the level and the intensity of the ringing, and then kind of helping you learn how to put that ringing in the background of your life, whether it be through just strategies, having like a masker noise playing when you're, instead of having iPods in your ears listening to music, if you're kind of trying to find a pleasant way to sleep, having a low level kind of calming masker noise from something maybe on your bedside to just cover that sound up. And then some people actually benefit from devices that are worn on the ear that produce a calming signal that helps you kind of put it in the background of your life so that it's not so overwhelming. And that's been shown to actually, in about 80% of people, in the long term, help reduce that stress that the tinnitus causes to the point where they don't notice it anymore or it's just not bothersome. So I think the hard thing is that a lot of times people are told, well, there's nothing we can do. There's no hope if you have ringing in the ears. And that can be really hard to hear. So I want to tell you there are options out there.
Mm-hmm. So as soon as that happened to me, then I stopped using the iPod. But I pretty much I've adjusted to it, and I try to ignore it as much as I can. But then I find I'll turn the television louder so I don't hear the ringing in my ears. I know I'm probably damaging my ears more. But in any event, I do want to kind of warn people about this because I had no clue
that was going to happen. And you were going to comment actually on headphone use or earbuds. You can't go down the street without, in the morning when I do my jog, I think 80% at least of the people that I run into have them on.
It's true. I think raising awareness, so thank you so much for bringing this up, raising awareness that if you listen to headphones a really long time at a high level or even a short time at a very high level, you can actually damage your own hearing. And sometimes, like you mentioned, your unfortunate experience, I'm sorry, so sorry you've had to go through this, is that when you figure out that you can do damage, it's too late. So we're trying to raise awareness of the fact that there are safe listening levels. There's actually, in some of the phones these days, there's ways to limit the output of the headphones so that they can't damage hearing if you go into the settings. There's headphones you can buy, like, for your kids that will limit the levels to keep the levels safe so they can't, so kids can't crank up the volume when you're not around. I'm a big proponent of that for my daughter's school, actually, because those kids like to turn up their headphones so loud. But I think that the best thing we can do is try to spread the word to listen safely.
So what, and in terms of that noise, sort of soft background, what are those devices called?
They're just like a sound machine or a masker device. Okay. A lot of people will find relief. Some people even will use like a fan. Just a lot of times we notice the tinnitus in our ears when we're trying to sleep because that's when it's quiet. There's no ruckus, and so that's, and if you're stressed out already, or even if you're just trying to have a peaceful night's sleep, that's when it's really noticeable.
Magnified, sure.
And so just to be able to kind of put it in the background and have something a little more pleasant than a buzz or a ring or a hissing sound, so they, like, you can buy them at Radio Shack, online, Sharper Image, I think, makes some fancy ones.
Not too expensive, I mean, they're
no,
range.
Actually, you can get apps on your phone these days, so like an iPhone application, or I'm not trying to just promote the iPhone here today, so like an Android phone or whatever, you can download sound machine applications now.
Helen, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Greg in Fitchburg a chance to join in. Greg, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Great program. I'm 61 years old, and I just had a hearing test maybe about a month and a half ago. My hearing in both ears was diminished. Left ear was greater than the right ear. I now have a hearing aid for my left ear, and my insurance covered that. Won't cover the right ear. I'm kind of wondering, if I don't get a hearing aid for my right ear, am I going to be in trouble down the road? Are there things in my brain that if they're not picking up the signals from my right ear, will they, you know, be compromised over time?
Yeah.
That is a great question. So your question is nuanced, because if you hadn't gotten a hearing aid at all, I would say there actually are a lot of drawbacks to not getting a hearing aid when you need it, in terms of stimulating your brain and keeping those auditory pathways active and removing yourself from and be more isolated. But you have one hearing aid, and so you're asking, okay, what about that other, my poor other ear that doesn't have a hearing aid? So the good news for you, to some extent, our bodies are pretty bilateral. So we have some pathways in our brain that start to cross over to the other side fairly early in our hearing system. I would try to get a hearing aid when you can, as soon as you can, for that other ear, because of course it's not, as we talked about with the other caller earlier, it's not a perfectly bilateral system. We do use the input, the sound, from both sides of our bodies for lots of great things and to really stimulate our brains on to the maximum extent. We want sound coming from both ears. But the fact that you are still getting sound and you're able to hear and communicate, you can keep your quality of life up and keep your brain stimulated with sound, those are all really good things. I would just say as soon as you can get one for the other ear, I would recommend it.
Yeah, good
to
luck.
Optimize.
Yeah, well, and the hearing aids themselves these days, I can remember years back a friend who had got hearing aids, and he was like, God, he could hardly stand it when he went to a, like a restaurant or something, the noises would be magnified. But a lot of that has been resolved, has it not?
It has. So here, the goal of modern hearing aids, even in my career, things have evolved nicely. The goal is that average conversational speech should be comfortable. Soft sounds should be audible, so we should be able to hear soft environmental sound. And loud sounds should be tolerable. We shouldn't want to jump out of our skin or rip them out of our ears when sound gets really loud. All hearing aids, regardless of technology level, so whether you spend, and they're all expensive, whether you spend $1,000 or $3,000, they're all going to help you hear better in a quiet environment. So the research has shown that if you and I are sitting like we are right now and we're talking, it doesn't matter if we have the high end or the entry level hearing aid, we're going to hear to equally clearly with the hearing aid. As you spend more money on technology, you actually start adding kind of bells and whistles, if you think about it, like comfort features in a car or on a computer.
Size, maybe?
No, actually, those are unrelated.
Oh.
So you can get the teeniest, tiniest hearing aid in the entry-level cost and the biggest hearing aid, the highest technology, totally separate.
Okay.
So that's kind of, that's actually a common misconception that I like to talk about when I go around and talk to people.
Glad I brought it up.
Yeah, it's a great question. So you start adding comfort features as you start spending more money. Maybe some of those other features that I was talking about, like hearing, for hearing in noisy places, for cutting down on, like if you have a lot of environmental sound, like fans running or buzzing in the environment, you know, computer noise, they start doing a little more noise management, and they sometimes on the higher end offer the audiologist a little more control and ability to manipulate the processing of the hearing aid to kind of tailor it to the individual. But no matter what technology, if you're kind of like on the fence, do I want to jump into this all or nothing? Do I need to spend $3,000 an ear? Well, there's lots of options out there, and that's one of those personalized decisions. It really depends on your lifestyle and what listening situations you're in.
Greg, again, thank you for calling. I want to give Judy and Stevens Point a chance to join us. Judy, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. The fellow that called, and maybe 3-4 people ahead of the last person, that had the injury to his ear.
Yeah.
And was taking the prednisone and all that. I have the name of a specialist, and he is in Sarasota because he's given me my hearing back in both of my ears. And I was down 45-50% hearing loss. And the first ear I had done was 28 years ago. And what my hearing problem was is the stapes bone had become fixed, so the sound wasn't traveling properly to my ear canal. So he replaced that in 28 years, and it's still as loud and clear as can be. So I'm thinking that because this is his specialty, he has written all the books, he has got a big institute in Sarasota, Florida, he will talk to this gentleman, and he will see what he can do to help him. He has more knowledge than any.
What's his name?
Herbert Silverstein.
Herbert Silverstein. Okay. Yeah, well, Let me ask. Silver and Stein, right?
Yeah, he's got the Silverstein Institute. He's got actually two of them in Florida because he is the master. I mean, this guy can do
anything. Okay, well, let's get. Thank you for calling, Judy, and a comment from you, Melanie.
Yeah. So I think thanks, Judy. You bring up a really great point. So there's all different types of hearing loss, and it sounds like you had something called otosclerosis, and that is one of the types that, like you mentioned, happens with the stapes bone or with the middle ear bones or kind of a fixation of the bones. And the wonderful thing about, it's not wonderful to experience, but there are types of hearing loss, like you mentioned, that can be medically treated. There's actually, and it's great that you found such an excellent professional to help you. And I will just put a plug in. There are some surgeons right here in Madison as well that do the surgery to correct that type of hearing loss. So good to start with a test, figure out what's going on, whether it's happening in the middle ear like yours did or the inner ear, and get pointed in the right direction.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We want to give Sharon in Minocqua a chance to join us. Sharon, hello to you.
Yes, hi. This is such a great program, mainly because I'm heading from Minocqua into Madison to go have an audiogram done right now.
Oh, good.
It has to do with the fact that I have recently been diagnosed with a type of skull-based tumor, which has affected the nerve, my tongue, but I think it may have also affected nerves to my hearing. So when your guest was talking about, you know, paying attention to when you have any kind of hearing loss or disorder, to definitely go and get that checked. I was very lucky that I had these very subtle symptoms, but they discovered this tumor, so I'm going to get that treated right now at UW. I do have a question, though, too, because I've noticed for a number of years, and this tumor may have been the cause of it, but I've noticed that when I'm in a very loud room like a restaurant, when I can't really hear people very well because all of the noise is equally loud. I could be sitting across from someone and talking with them, and their voice is, you know, the people across the room's voice is as loud as the person sitting next to me. And once I heard another program on National Public Radio that there's a condition that people have where they can't filter out noise, and I couldn't remember the name of what that condition was. And so I don't know if your guest knows the name of that.
I don't know. Was it Melanie again?
Well, first, I'm really sorry to hear everything you've been through, and it sounds like you're in good hands, and really interesting that you're having your audiogram today.
Yeah, I don't know if it's you that I'm going to see.
I don't think so.
I can't remember who it is.
We will see. I actually do not know the name of that particular disorder, but I will say that you bring up, once again, all these guests are bringing up such wonderful points, and you brought up a great point, and that sometimes you can have subtle hearing loss, which you may have because of the skull-based tumor affecting your nerves, that can cause difficulty hearing in noisy environments. So it can be in isolation. You can just have a hearing loss and nothing else going on. But it's always good to get things checked out because sometimes it brings, in the rare cases, like you're sharing, it brings up other issues that need to be treated.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Yeah. Maybe you'll run into Melanie today.
Well, I was just wondering if it has to do with also how the brain processes the information.
Yes, thank you for leading me to that when I neglected to talk about it. That's another whole topic that sometimes we don't talk about as much because we don't just hear with the external part of our systems. Our brains are what really is deciphering the sound. And so once we start at the outside and work in with our evaluation, and if everything looks typical with hearing and someone is still struggling in noise, then we may refer for other testing or give some strategies.
Yeah. Well, good luck. And thank you so much for calling today, Sharon. I really appreciate it.
What a fortuitous program.
Thank you. All right. Well, we try to help when we can. Jean in Madison, thank you for calling.
Hello.
Hi, Gina. Are you there? Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I am. I have two questions. The first one is, I was told, I don't know that this for sure, but when they built the new stadium for the Minnesota Vikings, they did a great job of insulation, but when they checked the decibel level, it's too high to be legal, so that when people go in, they have to be given a pair of earplugs. We, as the general public, wouldn't know that or couldn't check decibel levels anywhere. Is there laws in Wisconsin about how loud something can be?
That is a great question. Actually, it's funny you should bring this up because I have heard the same thing about the new Minnesota stadium. I don't know about the too loud to be legal. It might be that they've gone in and measured the levels and compared them to the OSHA standards. So the Occupational Safety and Health Administration is what regulates the noise levels in factories. So like if, for instance, if you were working in that level for a certain amount of time, the law would be that you'd have to wear hearing protection. But that law doesn't apply to recreational activities.
Oh.
So I think that's my guess. Is that
that's a problem because the general public doesn't know. You know, when you go into somewhere, I guess like you take on some risk by just going. But the other part of my question is, I'm right at the age that I think I need hearing aids, but I'm very concerned about where to go because if you see commercials on TV, they're selling something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they say, come in and we'll tell you if it's earwax or whatever. I'm not sure that they will because they're obviously selling something.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the best place to go to find out for sure?
Well, there's a lot of good places to go. I see you're in Madison, so you can come see us if you want. We're just to put in a shameless plug. I'm right here on campus at the University of Wisconsin Speech and Hearing Clinic, or the UW Speech and Hearing Clinic. You can also go to the UW Hospital, to Dean Clinic. Lots of clinics in this town have audiologist meritor. It's not necessarily bad when people are selling things. However, it sounds like you want an unbiased opinion,
I do,
who's not going to personally profit. And so a good place to start in that case is to come to someone like me, employed at a university or a hospital setting. But a lot of people in private practice do an excellent job as well.
Okay. I guess, you know, and I'm sure not the only one that has questioned, gee, is it because they're selling something?
Right.
That was very good information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, here we are close to running out of time. What can we do to protect? Are there things we can do that would help us not have the problem?
Well, I think prevention is the very first step to take. So protecting our hearing when we go to the really loud Vikings game or when we go to those concerts, if you really love concerts and go all the time, get some really great musicians' earplugs and you will enjoy the event better and you'll enjoy not having to listen to that buzzing in your head afterwards. Protecting our kids' hearing by putting earplugs in when we go to monster truck rallies or tractor pulls or loud sporting events, and making sure they don't turn up the sound too high. And then if we notice a problem, being proactive, just like in all areas of our healthcare, taking care of ourselves and asking questions and seeking out answers that are tailored to us.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us today, Melanie. I hope you'll come back and be with us again. We should do this a more regular basis. Your first time here, and it was wonderful, and so we'll try and set something
great
up.
Thank you.
Lots of interest, obviously.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Melanie Burr-Lawler, licensed audiologist, clinical associate professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at UW-Madison, our guest, and we'll have her back, and we'll do this all over again. Coming up, we're going to switch gears and talk with you about the people and places that make Our Wisconsin with Mike Beano from Our Wisconsin magazine here on the Ideas Network.